Welcome to Courtside. We're all here. Oh, we're all here now, aren't we?
Most of us are all here. Some of us are just getting here, but that's okay.
It's okay. We've given him a part because he was in L.A. all week.
Oh, but getting sun and sun sands and all kinds of
right.
stuff.
This is going to be a great show tonight. It's going to be our draft special show. Of course, we're going to talk about Oklahoma City and the Miami Heat. Got to talk about them. But we're also going to have Chris Sheridan on, of course. He's the NBA writer and editor of SheridanHoops.com. Also, Amick.
Sam Amick.
Amick. Yeah. He's always a welcome guest. SportsIllustrated.com.
Yeah,
and he's going to be on the show. And I think we're going to have a special show. We're going to have people wanting to know what we think of draft 6 and 11. On the show.
And Todd Bosma will be on the show as well to preview the Blazers.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, so yes, it's a special edition. Special edition.
Oh, a late ad. I'm glad.
Good thing.
Wheels is into late ads.
Come late. Late ad.
Yeah, right. Late ads.
Traffic.
But we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. And
I'll tell you what.
And what's Todd Bosma going to do?
Todd is going to promote the for the folks who want to be part of the draft day. Of course, we have a big draft day party here at the Rose Garden.
Yes.
So he's going to talk about that. The Blazer Dancer Camp is coming up this week. So
I'm participating. I'm going to
as a Blazer Dancer.
Dance? Yeah, I'm going to be in the dance. Coming to dance.
Have you shaved your legs?
Wait. Well, oh, I can't do it now. Shaved legs, I'm out.
You know, the last time a young man was part of the Blazer, it was the junior Blazers.
You know,
we never know what happened.
You know, today is the 40th anniversary of Title IX, and I am invoking my Title X rights. Why can't the man be a Blazer dancer?
I'll tell you, there were great articles in the Oregonian on that.
About Title IX, yeah, absolutely.
Very interesting. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to mostly talk about the draft and have the people on that are going to talk about the Blazers' 6th and 11th choice. And I guess.
And you've seen about every draft, pre-draft workout to this point.
I've seen every draft workout.
Yes, so we can talk a little bit about that as well.
Some were better than others.
That's what we hear. All right, coming up, Trailblazers Courtside in just a moment. And here we are, another edition of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Welcome on in. Mike Barrett off tonight in Arizona with the family and the in-laws. But Brian Wheeler joined by Mike Rice and Antonio Harvey.
And don't think.
No, I would not.
Mike Barrett is having fun in Phoenix.
He's not?
112 degrees.
Oh,
he was going to. He went to the pool yesterday instead of playing golf in 111. But since it's his last day, I think he played golf today 112 degrees.
I was in Palm Springs over the weekend. It was 107. And they said it was going to get over 110 this week. So I don't know. When you get to 107 or 112, I mean, do we really notice the difference?
Why would you want to do anything? Why would you want to go to Palm Springs in 107 degrees?
Well, because it was a resort and, sun and spa activities and everything. Don't I look relaxed?
I would have resorted to something a little cooler. That would have been my resort.
That's an idea. In all the years I lived in L.A., I'd never been to Palm Springs. So
yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
And I will say, you know, that it has a reputation of being for folks like, about ready to, you know, end their lives, but there were a lot of bachelorette parties at the
Palm
resort
Springs
we were at, as a matter of fact.
It's
we've got my wife has a lot of friends. Her family has a lot of friends at homes down there. It's beautiful. We went down in November, and it was 87 degrees. You know, the sun was shining, and the house set up high overlooking the golf course. So I just sat out there every morning and had a mimosa and a cup of coffee, and then sat there the rest of the day and had a beer, and then later on.
That's great.
Well, tonight it's our last show, guys, before draft night.
Yeah.
And we have always our special draft night show that we'll be telling people about in just a little bit. But to get ready for the draft, we've got a couple of the national draft experts, Chris Sheridan, the NBA writer and editor for SheridanHoops.com. We talked to him a lot during the lockout, but he's put together, as everybody does this time of year, some mock drafts. So we'll talk to him about that. Sam Amick, NBA writer for SI.com, is going to be on the show as well. Todd Bosma, Blazers Director of Game Operations, will tell us about the Blazers Draft Day Party if fans are looking for a good place to take in the proceedings, and it'll be right here at the Rose Garden. And so we'll have a lot going on, that's for sure.
And the Blazers haven't finished looking at draft prospects.
Had one today.
Had one today. Probably the most competitive workout of all the workouts, because they were all four-year guys that had gone to college 4 years and were ready to, this is my time to make the NBA. They were probably guys high first, second round picks, but very competitive. We'll talk about that. But they have a Wednesday, they have another one.
Right.
Then they're going to Houston to watch Joel Freeman. They play against Lithuania, and that'll be a good chance to find out if he's, you know, thinking about NBA, and same with Claver. He's talked this week about, oh, maybe I'll stay over in Europe. So, you know, I think they're all thinking about how much money I'm going to get.
Money and leverage.
Yeah.
Either do it now or I'm going to stay here for another year. And, and, you know, it's amazing how all that works. You know, it's funny. You talk about the workout today, and I know we don't want to get into specifics about certain guys, but it's interesting that you bring up the four-year guys all come in, and it's a different level of intensity.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that I think gets overlooked sometimes when you talk to coaches and scouts about four-year guys, the ability to work hard. It's become a skill. I mean, how many times do we talk about a guy, you know, how many, you know, we need a guy who plays hard every minute. Yeah. That's become a skill in the league now.
There's no doubt about it, because the guys that come in that only go 1 year and out, or even sometimes 2 years and out, it's, I'm going to show you what I can do. And if someone works harder than me during, I have another workout tomorrow somewhere else. So it's the, whereas these guys, every workout they go to, I mean, they go after each other. And it was good. The young man from Villanova, one from Missouri, Georgetown big guy, and, you know, Henry
Iona,
Sims. Yeah, Iona Machado was an excellent point guard. He led the nation in assists. So, you know, they really had an interesting workout today.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject right here. You mentioned a guy leading the league in assists, leading the nation in assists, and yet he's slipping into the second round. It amazes me. To me, if you can do it at the college level with that kind of success, you can be an NBA point guard. I think that's the guy to keep an eye on. He'll certainly make himself an NBA prospect by working out better and better every day.
And, you know, he really is a question mark, Scott Machado from Iona. Iona won about 28 games. They had one of their best years ever, and he was the reason. So it'll be interesting how they judge his talent. And, you know, it's all coming down to the Blazers have 6 and 11, and they're trying to find out the value of 6 out there. Does anybody have a real person in mind that they would want to trade the Blazers for the number 6? Or do the Blazers think there's a player at number 6 that'll be worth taking rather than trying to go out and trade it away? So that's what the process is right now, and that's what these workouts are all about. The value of 6 and 11, how great is it? And I don't think the Blazers know just yet.
Yeah.
Or do the Blazers have a guy in mind that might not be there at 6 that they have to move up to try to get?
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of that going on, and you have to admire the honesty of new Trailblazer general manager Neil O'Shea talking about how much lying that goes on. And as he was talking to Jason Quick, said, I'm probably lying to you right now. So – you know, that's very refreshing, because I think there's always a facade that's put on. And he pretty much said, don't believe anything you hear from anybody.
That's why I have been to every workout, and I don't even ask how they did, because I can see, because I know someone's going to say, oh, he was terrible. You know, was he?
Because they're probably lying to you.
Yeah, I'm sure. They believe
it. Gotta love it.
They're lying to everybody.
All right, when we come back, Chris Sheridan, outstanding NBA national writer and the editor of SheridanHoops.com, will be with us on the program as we continue with this edition of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. We are, as always, simulcast on Trailblazers.com, or we stream live at Trailblazers.com, simulcast on the Blazers Radio Network and Comcast Sportsnet. We'll be right back. Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. Ryan Wheeler, Mike Rice, Antonio Harvey back on the program. And pleased to be joined now by a guy that we spoke to quite a bit during the lockout. And now we have more pleasurable things to discuss, the NBA Finals and the upcoming draft. And as one of our favorite NBA writers, the editor of SheridanHoops.com, Chris Sheridan. Chris, how you doing?
Good, Brian. That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that.
How are you enjoying the finals so far? Competitive games. The Heat have established their first lead in the series now, and you still get the feeling it's going to be a long series, as most people seem to forecast before it started.
Yeah, I love this series. It's the up and comers against the not exactly the established team, but it's a team that's been out there with their big three. And look, for the last two years, everybody around the country has been focusing on the Miami Heat and whether they like LeBron James, whether they've grown to hate LeBron James, whether LeBron James has won any titles. And he's going up against a team that has maybe the best player in the NBA in Kevin Durant, and people are just starting to realize that. And I think Kevin Durant is appearing on a stage and appearing before people that haven't seen him play before, and they're all kind of like, oh, wow, hey, this guy, you can't guard him. He's about 6'11", and he's got a high release, and boy, he's real good. And, you know, if you've been following the playoffs, you've seen Kevin Durant be the best closer in the NBA throughout the four rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, you can tell other fans that we've seen him play for two or three years, and we know how good Durant is, and he can close. There's no doubt about it. But speaking of closers, you know, they were getting on. If you look at what LeBron James did in the past, it looks like a completely different player as far as he's always, when he plays against the Blazers, when he wants to score, he can score anytime he wants. But what our theory was, get him passing, you know, get him so he's not trying to score against you. And that way you have a chance to stop him. But now it seems like he knows he has to score. He knows he can score, and he's not deferring to passing the ball all the time like he did last year. Looks like he's the guy that's trying to take over the game every night. And this is probably the LeBron James that is the real LeBron James. What do you want to say about that?
Well, I would say I would agree with you 100%. And I would say with you that if we spoke 365 days ago, we would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the Miami Heat were up 2-1 on the Dallas Mavericks last year, and it was the coronation of the Heat as the team that's going to win the next five championships, and then we all remember what happened from there.
Yeah, but he didn't have a game over 25 points last year. This year, he is trying to score. You can see that. Isn't there a difference?
Oh, there's a complete difference, and you make a great point. And Dwayne Wade has become such a secondary player for that team. It's startling. If you go back to 2006 when Miami beat Dallas in the finals, it was all about Dwayne Wade. But now it's, you know, LeBron James is leading that team. He's averaging over 30 points in the playoffs. He's shooting over 50%. He's playing out of his mind. It's the best basketball he's ever played. And he's been doing it all year. There's a reason why he won the MVP. And, however, we haven't gotten down to the end of this thing yet. And if you've watched this NBA Finals, these teams are quite evenly matched, and they're quite different, and there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
And if you go back to Game 3 last night and look at the final minute, boy, nobody played good in the final minute last night. LeBron James missed one or two free throws, and he took a bad shot in traffic, but those minor mistakes were nothing compared to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who they made six mistakes in a row in the final 90 seconds of that game. That game was there for the taking. And I would invite you to go to SheridanHoops.com and read the lead article from Mo Hamilton, who's down in Miami, and he broke it down brilliantly. Six plays in a row, the Oklahoma City Thunder made a mistake. Whether it was a bad inbounds pass, whether it was a forced shot with plenty of time on the shot clock, they didn't look like a mature team. And they've kind of spoiled us with their resiliency. They've been a fourth-quarter team, and they've been a team that's been made great comebacks. And then last night we saw them play the final 90 seconds like a pedestrian team, and you're not used to seeing that from the Thunder. And because of that, the Heat won game three. But each of these games is going to be different, and I think we saw a learning moment for the Thunder last night, and let's see if they learn from it and benefit from it in Game 4, or if they learn from it in a bad way and go on to lose Game 4, because if they do that, they're in a 3-1 hole. It's going to be, you know, extremely difficult to climb out of. If they play like the Thunder we've been seeing for the last 6 weeks, we're going to have a 2-2 series, and we're going to have a hell of a final three games.
You know, Chris, I wanted to ask you, you're talking about the way that Thunder team kind of melted last night. How much of that revolves around Russell Westbrook? And I know he's taking a lot of flack, and he said he wasn't going to change anything, but I felt like watching that game last night, he did alter the way he was attacking the Miami Heat, and I think he's the one guy on that roster. Certainly, Kevin Durant is the leader of that team. He is the go-to guy. But if Russell Westbrook isn't playing at a very efficient pace and a very efficient rate, they don't really have much of a chance to win.
I would agree with you totally. But Russell really can't change his game. And the thing about Russell is he's a player that runs more hot and cold than any player in this series. And what he's done over the course of the playoffs, look, he ran hot and cold during the course of the regular season as well, and he was a very high turnover player. If you look at the top 45 point guards in the league, guys who played real minutes, he ranked 44th in terms of assist to turnover ratio. He makes a lot of mistakes with the ball, but in the playoffs, his turnovers are down more than 50%, and he's really turned his game around. So he had a bad game, too, in terms of shooting, and then he came out and said, I'm not going to change my game, and that's exactly what he should say. You don't change your game. You don't change who you are after one bad game. You just try to play more efficiently. And he didn't have I wouldn't say he had a bad game three. He didn't have a superstar game three, but then again, neither did Kevin Durant, neither did LeBron James, neither did anybody in that game last night. Let's face it, that wasn't really a good game three. Neither team looked like they wanted to take it in the final 90 seconds, and it was there for the taking. And I guess the Thunder the Heat were just less worse. So, the Thunder are going to have to rely on Russell Westbrook to play his game, score his points, and keep his shots at a reasonable number. If he's taking 25 shots and Kevin Durant is taking 25 shots, that's probably not the split you want. However, if Russell's taking 20 and Kevin's taking 30, there's more of a balance of what you want to have. And let me tell you something. Russell Westbrook is a top 5 point guard in this league, and he's awful close to being a top 3 point guard in this league. The thing with Russell, and everybody talks about it, is his maturity level. And when you're talking about an Oklahoma City Thunder team that everybody, all the core guys are 23, 22 years old, you're going to see some bouts with immaturity. And how are they able to overcome that, or can they overcome that? That's definitely going to be one of the keys to the series. But if you want to point fingers for the last 90 seconds and who played poorly, you really can't point a finger at Russell. You can point a finger at Pavel Sepulveda for throwing the ball away on a key inbounds play off a timeout. You can point the finger at Kevin Durant for driving into traffic and taking a stupid shot with 12 seconds left on the shot clock. There's a lot of people you can point fingers at, but not Russell. So it's early in the series, fellas. We've only been through three games, and we tend to make, you know, all-encompassing judgments early, and then the next game somebody reverses it. And so I expect the Thunder to bounce back. I think Kevin Durant has shown through the first three games he's the best player in this series, or at least he's the best scorer. Now, but this is their first time at this level, so are they going to be able to play at this level the same way they played against the Spurs, which was a pretty high level as well in the Western Conference Finals? And remember, they were down 2-0 against a team that had won 20 in a row, and we all know what happened after that. They won the next four. So they're a team that's capable of turning it around. They're a team that's spoiled us with fourth quarter comebacks, and then, like last night, when they have a bad fourth quarter, it's an aberration. But we tend to make a broad judgment and say, oh, they're too immature and they can't finish. No, they can. They've shown it. They just didn't last night. So let's see what happens in Game 4, and it's either going to be a 2-2 or a 3-1 series. But you know, they're darn good. They didn't get to the NBA Finals easy. They beat the defending champions, the Mavericks. They beat the Lakers, and they beat a Spurs team that had won 20 in a row. So they're not to be taken lightly, but we're going to see some growing pains with them because they're so young. And it's a matter of, can they overcome that immaturity or that lack of experience, whether you want to, you know, you choose your term, and win the next game, and then make this a best of three where they're back to having home court advantage.
Chris Sheridan from SheridanHoops.com with us on Trailblazers Courtside. And, Chris, obviously here in Portland, we're thinking about the upcoming NBA draft and the Blazers with two selections in the lottery at 6-11 right now. A lot of people talking about this draft as a deep one, maybe not a lot of players that can instantly help you, but a lot of people that could certainly be part of a rotation, maybe help you in time. As you talk to national folks that evaluate the draft and so forth, what is the feeling you're getting about what kind of draft we're about to take part in? And if you are a team with a couple of picks in the lottery, such as the Blazers, could you get some folks that could be impact players potentially as soon as next season?
Well, they have to make up for the Greg Oden mistake. Number one, they got to get a center. So if Andre Drummond is there, the UConn center, at number six, that's the guy they got to grab. I happen to think the Cavs are going to take him because the Cavs have the same problem. They've never really replaced Ilgauskas. But in general, it's a great big man draft. So many guys stayed out of the draft last year because of the uncertainty about the lottery. If you look at all the good rookies in this past season, they're all point guards. The best big guy was Kenneth Faried, who's not a center. He's a power forward, and he went low. The difference in this draft is you can grab two bigs if you're the Blazers and you have two lottery picks, or if you're the Hornets and you have two lottery picks, you can grab two bigs. And bigs are very hard to come by. So if Drummond's on the board when the Blazers pick, that's a no-brainer. You grab that guy. I don't care who's left and how much they scored in college. You just can't find seven-footers with the great footwork and the great hands like Drummond has. He doesn't have the reputation of an Anthony Davis as the next Bill Russell, but he's a legit 7 foot, and you have to have a center.
And so, I imagine Memphis said the same thing with Tabit.
Well, yeah, but at that point, they weren't really sold that Marc Gasol was going to blossom into the player that he was going to be. And Tabit, you know, he's one of the biggest busts of the last 10 years. No question about it. Same with the Pistons with Darko Milicic. When you go for size over talent, you're obviously taking a risk, and you want to make sure you get the right guy. But look, nobody made a bigger mistake than Portland did with Greg Oden. They could have had Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of talent. It was because of injury. Drummond, on the other hand, if you look at his record at Connecticut, hasn't done a whole lot at Connecticut, has he, to warrant this type of admiration?
Well, like I said, the 7-footers are hard to find. And if you crap out on a center for whatever reason, whether it's injuries, whether it's mentality, whatever, at least you took the gamble on the guy. But I'll give you an example. The New Jersey Nets had DeMarcus Cousins in for a workout a couple of years ago. And I went to the workout and I watched it, and I talked to him afterwards. And there were certain guys on the Nets who were absolutely in love with this guy. They said he was a beast. He was an absolute monster. And this is the guy we got to get because he's given us what Brook Lopez isn't giving us. Brook doesn't have a feistiness to us that DeMarcus Cousins has. So what did they do? They went and picked Derek Favors instead. And Derek Favors never fit in because he was the guy who was stuck behind Brook Lopez. And they ended up trading him for Deron Williams. And Deron's a guy that they stand a chance to lose on the free agent market. So had they picked DeMarcus Cousins, look, DeMarcus Cousins is going to be an all-NBA player for a long time. Yes, he has character issues. Yes, he has maturity issues. But the talent is definitely there. And if you have a guy with the talent, hopefully you work on the maturity issues in whatever way you can. And then you keep him for 4 or 5 years, and you hope he blossoms. And I think the Kings are going to have that with DeMarcus Cousins. But he could have gone earlier to the Nets, and the Nets wouldn't have a center problem right now, and they wouldn't be having all their eggs in one basket with trying to get Dwight Howard in. So the point, though, being 7-footers don't come around a lot, and 7-footers who can be dominant don't come around a lot. And Drummond is a guy who could be that. Now, you going to judge him on his body of work at Connecticut, or are you going to judge him on his potential to be a real good NBA center? You have to do the latter. And if the guys at the Blazers, the scouts, think, hey, he's got the skill set to be a dominant NBA center, then you pick him and you put him next to LaMarcus, and you have your two bigs going forward. And those are the hardest positions to fill in the NBA. You know, point guards are a dime a dozen. Shooting guards are a dime a dozen. Certainly wing players are a dime a dozen. Centers are very, very hard to find. And if you can find one, or if one falls to you at six, you got to grab him. You can't look back and say, darn, if we had just taken that guy at six instead of who we took, we'd have our center position covered. Because the center position is very hard to fill. That's why free agent centers get paid twice as much as guys with twice the talent who are shooting guards. They're 7 feet tall. You have to have them in the NBA. If you don't have one, you can't win.
Chris, thank you so much for the visit. As always, give folks an idea of what's upcoming on SheridanHoops.com and also your Twitter handle, too.
Oh, well, the Twitter handle is Sheridan Hoops, and the name of the site is SheridanHoops.com. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to plug it. Look, guys and listeners, we're a quality website. I spent 18 years at the Associated Press. I spent 6 years at ESPN. I left to open my own business because I thought I could build an NBA website that's better than any NBA website out there. You give me 4 years, I'll get there. In the meantime, year one has been phenomenal. We have a mock draft up there right now that all my Twitter followers keep saying this is the best mock draft anywhere on the internet. Both it's first round and second round. We got our columnists that I covered game one and game two in Oklahoma City. Mo Hamilton is covering 3, 4, 5 in Miami, and I'll be back at OKC for 6 and 7, and then I'll be with the U.S. Olympic team throughout the summer. So make Sheridan Hoops a place where you go to check out good NBA coverage. We're fiercely independent. We're not aligned with anybody. We're non-corporate, and my staff of writers, between Mark Heisler, who's spent 35 years at the LA Times, and Jan Hubbard, who spent 8 years in the league office, and myself, who's got 25 years in the business, and Chris Pernuca, who's got 20, and Chris Perkins, who worked at the Palm Beach Post for 10. We got 100 years of NBA experience. We got great writers. So go check it out and make your own judgment. But if you like it, come back every day, please, because we could use the traffic.
And the fact that you guys are only, I think the oldest is 42 years old. It's amazing that you have all this experience. But you as well on Twitter. So thanks as always for the visit. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the opportunity for the plug.
Absolutely. Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com, Twitter handle Sheridan Hoops. We'll continue with the program, and coming up, we'll have a short segment, and then Sam Amick, the NBA writer for SI.com, will join us as we roll on the Trailblazers courtside. The official Trailblazers draft party will be taking place at the Rose Garden. Doors opening at 3 p.m. on Thursday, the 28th, so that's just over a week away. And if you purchase season tickets before the draft, you can receive tickets to an exclusive meet-and-greet opportunity with the Blazers rookie class. Also, that draft party, as we said, on the 28th. More information about all of this at 503-797-9600 or head to trailblazers.com. Again, Todd Bosma will bring us exact details about the party itself in just a little bit. But coming up next, Sam Amick, NBA writer for SI.com, will tell us about his mock draft, who he has the Blazers selecting at 6 and 11, and we'll talk to him about the NBA Finals as well. It's Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, simulcast on the Trailblazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and stream live at trailblazers.com. Chris Sheridan, and we have the timer on Chris, and we are told that his answer to the NBA Finals question We should have had the clock running in the – if we knew it was going to be, you know.
424?
Yeah, 424, 421, whatever it was. It was over 4 minutes.
It was
an all-time record.
Yeah.
Record.
When he was on the phone, broke his record one time? Okay.
Now, you know what he said?
I don't know what he said.
I like him, but I stopped
I like
listening.
Him too.
It just became like background
noise. He was wound up tonight. He really was.
Yeah, and what he had to say about – you know, in this series, it's all about LeBron James. Either he's going to be real great and win it, or he's going to go back to what he was last year and start passing ball. Right now, he's by far the best player.
There's no doubt.
And no doubt.
You know, and I want to stop you, and I'll let you go right back to what you're saying. I don't even like LeBron James.
I know it.
I'm not a fan.
If you say that because you don't like him.
He's been tremendous. I still don't like him, and I probably never will because of the decision and the way all of that went down. But he's hands down the best player in the
league. But if the Heat don't win, will it matter? I mean, he still will not get the respect if the Heat don't win.
If he continues dominating like he is and they don't win because Wade or, you know, no one else is – he's just taken over.
Yeah.
And we know he can do that from watching him play, you know, when he wants to score. And he's rebounding. He's scoring.
Yeah,
he's not passing as much simply because he's passing to guys that aren't going to win the game.
Now, I wrote a blog about it, but it was unpublishable because it was kind of controversial. But I actually kind of said that I believe that if they don't win it, Dwayne Wade may be traded this summer.
Yeah, it's. I think it'll fall more on his shoulder because you can't play any better than LeBron James is playing.
All right, let's talk to a guy who can't write any better than he's been writing as of late. Outstanding NBA writer for SI.com, Sam Amick. Sam, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
We were just remarking, we just had Chris Sheridan on, and he gave an answer that was 4 minutes and 21 seconds. So you have a lot to compete with as we get to your interview. But he was good as well. He had a lot to say.
Obviously.
Let's ask you, because you have been, as everybody does this time of year, very active in terms of the mock drafts and so forth. We know the Blazers sitting at 6-11 right now. What are you hearing, first of all, in terms of potential trade activity with teams that are in the upper end of the draft? Are you hearing? Neil O'Shea, new Blazer GM, said he thought that this would be the week that maybe some talks would start heating up a little bit once teams are a little bit more able to assess guys that they're bringing in for workouts. Are you hearing a lot of discussion about moving down and up, you know, in terms of teams being willing to trade their draft spots right now?
You know, you're hearing some chatter, guys, but as one front office guy pointed out to me today, he said, you know, don't start really believing it until we get closer. I mean, it's pretty tough to get value for anybody's pick right now. And so I think there's a lot of smoke screen going on. That being said, you know, and I didn't know a lot of details on this. One specific thing with Portland was I was hearing that Sacramento had inquired with them and might have been looking to move back a little bit. I don't know the potential pieces there, but, you know, that's just all over the place. You're talking, you know, really, I think the majority of top 10 teams. And then, you know, from there and beyond, I think you're looking to maybe move.
You know, Sam, I got to ask you, I got a couple of questions. There's one question kind of twofold. One, the guy in the draft this year that seems to be helping himself the most with his workouts, and the guy who seems to be hurting himself the most with his workouts?
Helping himself, I think, far and away is the guy who just rolled through PDX, which is Damian Lillard, the Weaver State point guard who is, you know, a scoring first, pretty dynamic offensive player who can defend a little bit. And he was great at the combine. He went against the grain because he took part in the drill and didn't duck out like a lot of high-profile guys did. So he's, you know, really on the up. And then a guy that hurt himself, and we didn't know this, you know, the extent of it until today, really, was Jared Sellinger from Ohio State. He's got a medical red flag and a back issue that you know, you find, you know, disagreeing opinions from his agents and some teams on how serious it is. But I think that's a very real thing that, you know, I think Sellinger could be in danger of sliding off.
You look at value of each pick, and you read about three or four teams that have dual picks in the first round. Will there have to be more workouts in order for teams to judge what the value was of each pick. For instance, the Blazers, if they don't think they can get who they want at six, what value would they get trading six? Could they get somebody good if there is somebody that wants that number six pick?
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I think six is a tough one. You know, you're right there on the threshold. The answer is it's just a matter of who's in love with somebody behind you. One guy that would come to mind, and I don't know which team this might be, but hypothetically, if somebody is head over heels for Andre Drummond of UConn, I think Andre could fall to six. And if a team, you know, is confident that he might fall, or if they want to wait, I mean, you can do a deal on draft night and literally wait for the picks to be made and have kind of this plan B in your back pocket. That would be one scenario and one guy that would come to mind. You know, Lillard is another one where I think that you're kind of rolling the dice. You know, I don't think he's going to be gone before six, but, right, you know, if you found a team, you know, like I was told that Utah really, really likes Damian Lillard. They don't have a first-round pick, so maybe you can do something there. So I think there's value there, and six is a whole lot better than eight or nine. It really, you know, you fall off a cliff when you get to eight or nine. So I think there's some value, and I think, guys, that was like a minute and 20 seconds, so I think I'm okay.
That was very good, Sam. Very good. last question for you. Charlotte Observer is reporting that Mike Dunlap, former Oregon assistant coach, most recently assistant coach at St. John's, is apparently going to be the next head coach of the Charlotte Bobcats. His name had not been prominently mentioned among the candidates. Nate McMillan, former Blazer coach, Brian Shaw, Quinn Snyder were believed to be the three finalists. Did this kind of come out of nowhere, or does this maybe fit the pattern of a Charlotte organization that has not seemed to be very willing to spend money on anything, so maybe it's no surprise that they're looking for a cheaper alternative for a head coach too?
Yeah, I mean, that's my first read on it. You know, they've made changes that are good. You know, Rich Cho, the previous Portland GM, is in there and trying to do good things. I just don't know how much power he has in a situation like this. This is, you know, the finalist, as I understood it, Brian, was Jerry Sloan was the third guy, and that Nate was already out of there. But either way, you're right, that Dunlap was not considered a finalist. And actually, right before we jumped on the air, I called the guy who was involved to just, you know, triple check and say, hey, didn't you tell me that this wasn't media creation, that the team itself had told other candidates that we had three finalists, and he was, you know, he wasn't considered one of them. So a little bizarre. I look at it and I say, my read on it is Brian Shaw was dragging his feet because he wants to look at the Portland job and he wants to look at the Orlando job. I don't think they like the fact that they had to wait for him. Quinn Snyder, I think, obviously, the Lakers assistant, they didn't have enough confidence to hire him, and they go with Dunlap, who, you know, it was reported that he was interviewed, but certainly nobody thought that he'd be getting the job.
Sam, tell everybody your Twitter handle so they can follow you there, and what do you have coming up on SI.com?
The Twitterverse is at Sam_Amick, A-M-I-C-K, and we're cranking today. We got some draft stuff. I just put up the question of who's the second best player in the draft. I told 16 executives and had some interesting, you know, contrasting opinions in there. And otherwise, it's a lot of draft duty with free agency around the corner and then enjoying these finals. So we're busy, guys.
As always. Sam, thank you for the visit, and thank you for the concise and yet still informative answers. I appreciate that.
I don't. Yeah. That's for sure. And I'll be texting Sheridan now to give him a hard time.
Tell him he has the new
Thanks,
record.
Guys.
He has the new record. Thank you, Sam. Sam Amick. Again, at Sam_Amick, A-M-I-C-K. To follow him on Twitter, and you can follow his writing at SI.com. All right, Todd Bosma, Blazers Director of Game Operations, is coming up next as we head down the home stretch of this edition of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, simulcast on Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and streamed live at trailblazers.com. SI.com. Joining us on the program.
One for one. Two
for one. What do you mean one for one? You missed like four shots before you started counting.
Here's the big one. Damon Stoudemire.
Oh.
Mighty Mouse.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
It was off
Sabes.
Right.
Come on,
Sabes. Off right as some
Come
of the
on.
Shots were.
How about Pippen?
Greg Anthony.
Here's Pippen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pippen's
right
big.
Through, of course. But now he clogged it up.
Scottie Pippen.
How about Walt?
How about the. Yeah. Hey, give him the finger.
All right, joining us now on the program, the Blazers Director of Game Operations, Todd Bosma. As usual, Todd, the things have just fallen apart. I've lost
give it the hook
control
shot. Oh,
of the programming.
Some say you never had control of the program.
That's a good point, Todd. That's a very good point. I probably just fool myself with that line of thinking. But we want to have control of the program now because big information to be had about the annual Trailblazers draft day party. And I know that you and Craig Miller and all the folks that have so much to do with the great things that happen on a Blazer game night collaborate to put together a terrific party for the fans. So tell everybody what they need to know about the place in town to take in the draft a week from Thursday.
Absolutely. It's the official Trailblazers draft party. It's going to be at the Rose Garden. Doors are opening up at 3 o'clock. So we're going to be based in the rotunda area of the club level, but we're going to have activities going on throughout the arena. We're going to have inflatables for the kids. We're going to have face painter for the kids. We're going to have food and beverage specials. We're going to have discounted gear in the fan shop. We're also going to have the opportunity to purchase the best available season tickets at the best prices, you know, depending on if you like what we're doing at the draft. If we're trading the picks, if we pick the guys that you're really excited about, you just want to get in on the action, you know, you can pick up your own season tickets right there at the best possible prices. Of course, we're going to be broadcasting the special draft day coverage all day long on trailblazers.tv on 750 The Game, you know, with Mike, Antonio, and then Wheels. You're going to be stationed outside the war room at the practice facility again.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're going to be getting us the newest news, the late-breaking news before anybody else. So, you know, this is your one spot to be among all other Blazer maniacs to check out and see what's going on at the draft and, you know, party, because it's going to be a good day for the Trailblazers coming up this Thursday.
Now, I know you're also excited about this coming weekend, the Blazer Dancers. We have auditions coming up next month, but how about the camp that the dancers will be a part of this weekend?
Absolutely. Once we get past the draft on the 28th, we officially enter audition season. So we've got auditions for the Blazer Dancers coming on up. That is July 13th and 14th, or 14th and 15th, whatever that
Is Wheels still a judge?
You know, we're working on rounding out our judging panel, okay, right? Yeah. So are you trying to get involved?
I don't know if he has the patience to, you know, it's a time commitment.
It's an all-day thing. Now, I got to ask you a question, though, Todd. We were talking about this earlier.
Okay.
You know, today is the 40th anniversary of Title IX, which really equalized sports between the sexes. And I want to know if men can try out for the Blazer dance teams.
Absolutely. It's an open audition. In fact, if you remember a couple years ago, we had a couple gentlemen on the Blazer Dancer squad as well. You don't.
You're trying to block it out.
Trying to block it right out. Absolutely. Yeah. So no, it's absolutely open to everyone. You know, I think everybody knows what the Blazer Dancers stand for, and the sort of talent that we're looking for. But anyone can come on down, and if you want to get an idea of what the audition process is all about, or if you're on the fence and you don't know if you want to audition, we're having pre-audition workshop this Saturday, June 23rd, from 12:30 to 3:30 at the Lloyd Center LA Fitness. Now, it's currently full, but registration begins at noon, and we're expecting those people who signed up online maybe not to show up. So by 12:15, we'll be starting accepting walk-ups, and we're not going to start teaching until about 12:30. It's going to be a mock audition where dancers have the opportunity to learn choreography and then perform in small groups, just like we do at the Trailblazer Dancer Auditions. We'll also have some time for question and answer with Michelle Birch, our performance team's manager. And if you want any more information on that, you can check out the auditions tab on the For Fans page at trailblazers.com. So that'll be a little preview of what you can expect at Blazer Dancer Auditions coming back up a little bit later in July.
Very good. Todd, thank you so much for the visit as always, and we'll look for the camp this week and the draft party a week from Thursday.
Absolutely. Looking forward
Todd
to
Bosma,
it, guys.
Todd Bosma, Blazer Director of Game Operations, will come back to close out this edition of Trailblazers Courtside right after this. No Trailblazers Courtside next Monday. We make up for it, though, with a special draft night edition, 4 hours, beginning on Thursday the 28th, 4 o'clock, simulcast right here, Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and stream live at trailblazers.com, trailblazers.tv. We'll have coverage all day long. For Mike Rice and Antonio Harvey, I'm Brian Wheeler, saying so long. We'll talk to you again on draft night a week from Thursday.